My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Boys, put down your utensils. I want to talk to you about something real quick. If there's anything that you want to talk about, any kind of secrets, now's the time to put it on the table, okay? And if you tell me, we're not going to be mad.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I went to the petting zoo and I let the goat lick my
honey.
Promise you wouldn't get mad, okay? They're being honest.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
One time I put a firefly in my butt.
Why?
To make my farts glow.
Oh, God.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I touched myself to Drew Carey on the bus, right?
God. Okay, that's enough. Stop, please.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube.
I think I probably put my foot in my mouth.
We'll try not to do that in the final hour of the show.
He literally could play the whole clip and be like, I said this to my wife a week ago when we were in an argument. May I got ahead of myself, put my foot in my mouth.
It's my bad.
I'm going to try to be better next time.
It's my bad. I own up on that one. That one's my
going to make
mistake.
That the wife's ringtone?
It's my mistake.
I mean, seriously.
I think I probably put my foot in my mouth.
She lectures you. You argue. You get in a real fight. A week later, you're like, you know what?
I think I probably put my foot in my mouth speaking too quickly. And it's just, again, this is a day-to-day situation. We'll just keep seeing it as that. Again, you got to find the positives in this situation.
Got to find positives, honey.
There's a lot of positives to get another guy's work.
A lot of positives here, honey. Let's focus on the positives, okay? Can we focus on the positives?
I've learned from that moment.
Yes.
Be better, you know.
I'll grow. I'll mature from this opportunity. That's all it is, man. We will get to Yogi Roth in about 12 minutes from now. Bottom of the hour, we will have our first edition of the season. I think we're going to do this on Thursday. It's what we did in years past. Some things need to stay alive in terms of traditions.
Okay.
We're going to call it the Big Pack Picks.
The Big Pack. I'm going to say this way wrong. I need to think
Speaking
about
Speaking of putting your foot in your
yeah,
mouth.
Yeah, no kidding.
Big
Pack.
Big Pack.
Picks.
Picks.
Okay? It's a pack.
The
a big
B-P-P.
Picks. The BPP.
The BPP.
Oh.
That's going to be weird.
Maybe don't go acronym on
yeah,
that one.
Yeah.
You know,
no.
Maybe we don't need an acronym on that one.
No.
The big PP.
I saw this yesterday, and it's something that we debate quite often on this show, especially in this market, because we're very unique, and we are down this rabbit hole as an organization with the talking about the Portland Trailblazers way too far, and we have argued that, that this needs to be untangled. And Warren Organization is actually doing this. Now, I don't know how seriously they're going to do this in other opportunities in the future. Did you see what the New York Giants are doing? Did you see this news yesterday?
Organizationally.
Yes.
Is it with a player?
It is with a player.
Oh, okay. I saw that.
So
yeah.
They...
It is a little weird.
Malik Nabers, their number one overall pick, their number six overall pick, their number one overall pick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He is trying to find a number. He wore number 8 at LSU. Daniel Jones wears that number for the Giants.
I actually did talk to Daniel Jones.
Only for one more year, because then they're going to cut him, because he's terrible. He was wearing number 9 in all of training camp, but that is the number of Graham Gano, who I guess wasn't in training camp or wasn't wearing the number. I'm a little confused by that. So he's been trying to figure out what number he wants to wear. He wants to wear number 1.
Okay.
Only problem is, number 1 for the New York Giants
retired.
Is a retired number.
It's like a kicker or something, right?
Yeah, I don't remember the guy's position. It is retired because, what's this guy's first name? Ray Flaherty.
Sure.
You guys big fans of Ray Flaherty?
You play with Frank Gifford?
He played for the New York Giants. His first season with the New York Giants, was in 1929.
Wow.
Hmm. He then played, 2 years for the Giants in 1929, then left to go be Gonzaga's basketball coach.
What?
All right.
And then returned and played professional football and was a coach. And he was credited with the behind-the-line-of-screen pass in two-platoon substitution system.
Wow.
He was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1976. He is the first number ever retired in the NFL of any organization. Number one, this Ray Flaherty bro.
That's a good little trivia question.
Is the first number to ever be retired.
He's 89 years old.
Was he still alive?
When I looked it up.
He's still breathing?
Ray Flaherty, 89 years old.
Still going?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He played in 1929?
It says was last worn by Ray Flaherty 89 years ago. Oh, 89 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, I think this guy's long gone.
I think he's dead.
I think he's long gone. He played in 1929.
That reading comprehension.
That's about 100 years ago. He'd be about 130 right now.
Shout out Park Rose right
yeah. Hey,
I think I probably put my foot in my mouth.
Yeah. Hey, I brought him back to life. Usually the opposite is the bad thing to do.
Eddie George went to Tennessee State. What do you want from me here?
He's alive and well in our memories.
So Malik Nabers called the family, Ray Flaherty's offspring, and said, hey, you know, this was like 100 years ago. Can I wear number one? And they and the Giants said yes. And so they were going to unretire the number one from 100 years ago so Malik Nabers can wear a retired jersey.
I don't think it's any registered level of take. Anybody that's been retired or not alive for 50
years.
They
should reset, shouldn't they?
But keep the name.
You keep the
but
name
the
and the banners
is alive.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's ridiculous. We have to...
Every 50 years, these should reset.
We've made this point before. Any number being retired is pretty dumb. Just put a name. Do a Hall of Fame name.
I mean, we have two guys with the same retired number in Blazer history.
Yes. Points out the stupidity of what we do
both
in this.
So whose is it? Who gets the number?
And then we've got a number that nobody can wear because it's like unofficially retired. Like Carmelo Anthony. You want to talk about resumes. Brandon Roy was awesome.
He was.
Carmelo Anthony, infinitely a better resume than Brandon Roy. And had to basically be like, nope, you're not allowed.
Nope, can't wear that number.
Go be 00.
Yeah, can't wear number 7.
Because it's not retired, but it's retired. It's a thing, but it's not a thing.
I love that they're doing this. Kudos to the Giants and the Ray Flaherty family for not sticking to something from 100 years ago. No Giants fan even know who Ray Flaherty is.
Well, what would we be saying if the Flahertys were like, actually, no.
No, bitch, you're not having that number.
Old grandpa's number's staying retired. You're not allowed.
You don't understand how much this means to our family.
That's right.
Okay? Malik Nabers, why don't you prove it first?
Yeah, which Blazer jersey would we unretire first if we could unretire a Blazer jersey?
I don't want to play this game.
You don't want to play that game? Play the game.
Like, it's kind of disrespectful to the guys.
No, it's disrespectful to the guys.
I mean, it's not. They, you know. Keep the name in the rafters. I'm fine keeping
That's
the name
what I'm
in
saying.
The rafters.
We should be doing a name Hall of Fame thing here, right? Like, if you retire Sean Lee and his name's on there, why is anybody on a microphone?
That's a really good point. We just have to have dead air for broadcasts going forward. The microphone's been hung up. We hang it from the top of the rafters. We're no longer allowed to broadcast games.
It's an Oregon home game.
Yeah, just have drops of all of his great phrases and get the sound mics right on the court.
Dave Twardzik, can we unretire 14, 13?
No, let's not play this game.
Guy averaged 9 points. And he was here for 4 seasons, and he averaged 9 points a game.
Stop.
9 points are like Rudy Fernandez numbers.
We retired that whole team is what we did. And that's kind of what we put ourselves in. I'm not
touching Larry Steele. I'm not touching Maurice Lucas. You can keep those up there. Clyde, you know, all those are fine.
Twardzik should still be retired. The number thing is he was great.
Twardzik is 9 points per game.
I'm advocating
1.4 steals, man. Come on.
What are you doing this for?
I'm sorry.
You just want to get pissed? You want the olds to hate you?
Yeah, a little bit. So the Giants are doing that. Kudos to them. I did see this, too, before we move on to Yogi Roth here in a moment.
What is the most sacrilegious number that you guys would see in a uniform that you go, shouldn't be a thing? Like, is it Ruth? Like a number 3 for the Yanks?
Bulls 23. 42,
Bulls 23 is a good one.
Yeah.
The GOAT.
But 42 is retired for every team. Nobody can wear 42.
Yeah.
So you know Dodgers, nobody in Miami can wear 23?
Which is so stupid.
The Heat retired Michael Jordan's number for Michael Jordan.
We also, didn't we retire?
It's one of the dumbest sports team decisions ever made.
Bill Russell's number is also retired across the entire
league,
right?
That's not the same thing.
I'm not saying
that
it's the same thing.
That should be retired.
I'm just saying.
Guy who won titles in Boston coming home to crap in his bed because his own fans are racist.
Disagreeing with that
should
at all.
Should absolutely have six retired.
Not disagreeing with that at all.
I think Wilt's number in the female community should be retired.
Okay, yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I think if you're just going to go like team-specific, player-specific, like Bulls 23, seeing some like random European forward averaging 4 points per game off the bench wearing number 23 in a Bulls jersey would make me gasp.
Patriots 12. What's the most sacrilegious one in each sport? Gretzky, 99 for what team do you put that? The Kings or the Oilers?
It's got to be Oilers.
That's where he won all the Cubs.
Yeah.
Did he not win? He won,
they got
win
to a final, but they didn't win it.
Yeah.
That was when Barry
Melrose
was his coach. What?
Did he miss the Ranger Cup?
Didn't yeah he didn't
he
get that.
No, he wasn't on that. That was Messier.
No, that was Messier.
Okay, so 99 Oilers in hockey,
23
Bulls,
12 Patriots, and I think you got to do 3 Yanks just because of the historic nature of it. Unless you go 17 Dodgers. I mean, he's better than him. So
I mean, clearly.
Clearly. We got Yogi coming.
We got Yogi. Would you shut up over there?
Am I wrong on the baseball one? You guys are acting
no,
like...
No, I'm trying to think.
Willie Mays, maybe?
I don't know. Maybe it's an anti-Tom Brady thing. Is that the most iconic number in NFL history?
Jim Brown?
Yeah, Jim Brown.
God damn it, that's a separate poll question. I'm talking
what's the most iconic NFL
sacrilegious
jersey?
Sacrilegious against the team.
Sure, and that I get.
12 Patriots.
Because of what he did for that organization.
Yeah.
I got a noodle on. Let me noodle on that.
Those are two different poll questions.
They are two different polls.
Who's your baseball one? That's not hard. I think it's 3 Yanks.
I mean, for me, for my fandom, like 24 Giants would be it.
Because of Mays.
Willie Mays is the greatest player of all time.
All right. And you want me to do that one instead of Babe Ruth?
24 Mays would be in a Giants jersey.
Don't be mad when somebody responds, what about Ruth, Yanks, idiots?
Tell him he's an old fat white guy and he doesn't deserve it, all right? By the way, Scott Hansen promising us all season. The fans have complained so many times about the late Sunday window of Red Zone, that we will get a minimum at least every week of 3, if not more, games every week of the NFL season.
That doesn't mean they're good games.
Doesn't mean that they're good games, but at least it gives you the option to flip.
Cardinals-Jags.
Catch a fever, dude. I got Jags first half under.
Cardinals-Giants.
I got Giants first half under.
Daniel Jones in Arizona. I can't wait.
Glued to it. All right, there you go, little NFL nuggies. We'll get to our big pack picks coming up at the bottom of the hour. Yogi Roth, though, is next on 1080 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit with the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Be ready for your next afternoon vacation with Beak Breaker Tropical. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Thursday, a little bit later than usual because when you get Yogi Roth, you go when Yogi Roth can go.
Oh, we're on his schedule.
And that's what we do. The Daily Ticker brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Visit PelicanBrewing.com for more details on locations, events, award-winning beer. It's independently brewed since 1996. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Yogi Roth, Big Ten Network, at Yogi Roth on Twitter, Elite 11. He dude's everywhere. He's one of our favorites, and he is going to be on the call for the Oregon-Idaho game this weekend, 4:30 kick, right here on The Fan and on the Big Ten Network.
Well, especially on The Fan, though.
Especially on The Fan. Good morning to you, Yogi. I am sitting here just like jacked out of my mind that I get to watch college football games tonight. Where is Yogi Roth in his excitement level for week one kicking off?
It's very high, and thank you for adjusting, because I'm on my kid's schedule. So it was drop-off. There was no way I would have made it to 8 o'clock show, so thank you for that. I'm in L.A. here, heading to the airport shortly, and can't wait, right? You've got Deion and that whole thing tonight, kicking it off, a couple of the Big Ten games. And then away we go. I mean, football really through Monday. So it's all gas, as they like to say, no breaks in Austin, Texas. And I feel like a lot of the schools have taken that tagline. So here we go, baby.
Yogi, you were on with on Colin's show, I want to say, last week. They had a fill-in host, and I thought you gave a great answer to, like, hey, what's an underrated storyline? And you said Oregon State and Washington State being America's team this season because of everything that's transpired. I didn't think the host in the moment gave you a great particular response. I thought that was a great answer and explanation by you. I'm curious just how this whole thing has sat with you. I think we may have asked something to the effect when you first started the Big Ten Network, but like, what was the process of accepting the fate of the old conference life now as a Big Ten Network guy? Still feels weird to say that attached to your name.
Yeah, well, I think a couple things. One, like, you know, Jason McIntyre is really talented at what he does. I just think that the reality is a lot of people aren't tracking the Cougs and the Beavs just based on the nature of the sport. So when I said that, I think it did catch in and maybe others off guard, but I believe it. I think they got a shot to be America's team, especially if they can go out and make a little bit of noise. Imagine if the Wazoo beats Texas Tech and then beats UW in Seattle, like, away we go. Right. And now we're talking about possibly in the CFP. To the question around, like, how has it sat with me? I always go to the same thing, which is it's never going to sit well with me that 200 of my former colleagues are unemployed and looking for a job. And they kick butt by no fault of their own. They're seeking unemployment. And that, to me, has always been the worst part of this whole thing. The people that are directly affected by it. Right. So many people on campuses, so many fans, et cetera, et cetera. But with that said, I'm also moving forward, right? And I'm excited about it. When I was sitting there, you know, with one of your colleagues in Indianapolis for the media days, you look at all those logos and you're like, wow, this is really a national league. Like, it's way different than the SEC. The SEC's landlocked. Like, where are they going to expand to? Doesn't look like Florida State's coming anytime soon, and that's not necessarily on the water. And it's definitely on the West Coast. So I just think there is some enthusiasm around that. And then being I think I was at 12 campuses in the month of August, like, just ripping every single weekend, every single week, just a different training camp. Yeah, you get back to football. And I think, to me, I don't know about you guys, but I was just, you know, you get exhausted over the last 3 years of, first it was Texas OU, and then it was SC and UCLA in the middle of the night. And then it became the media rights last year at Media Days. Like, it was really nice to just talk football and scheme. Mm-hmm. I don't think realignment's over. I don't know where it's going to go next. I'm always thinking about the Cougs and the Beavs, and I can't wait to watch, I think, a premier team in the nation, and one that's going to be that for a really long time in the Ducks on Saturday night.
Yeah, amen to that, man. Just getting back to actual football is going to be a lot of fun this year. I'm even there with, like, the Michigan storyline of, like, just I'm ready to move on. It happened. You can't tell me the games didn't take place. You can try and take away whatever you want, but I watched them win a national championship. I don't care about documentaries. I'm excited to watch football this weekend. Yogi Roth, our guest, is going to be on the call for the Oregon-Idaho game on the Big Ten Network this weekend at Yogi Roth on Twitter. Let's get to that team that you're calling on Saturday, Yogi. Look, I've been around this program a long time. I went to the University of Oregon. Hard to think of a season in which they have had this high of expectation and just built up hype. They've had some great years. Obviously, Mariota and Chip, I know all of them. This year seems a little bit different. If I ask you, as you're looking through your charts for Saturday night, biggest question marks, biggest things you're curious to see, what's standing out to you going into game one for Oregon?
I mean, so much. We had our production call yesterday, and kind of the same question was posed by our producer, Danny Blunt. And I'm just saying, like, we got storylines for days. Like, we can talk about anything in the open, guys. I mean, there's so much. Obviously, the introduction truly into the Big Ten Conference, that's going to be a storyline in and of itself. I think Dylan Gabriel, from whatever it's worth from my lens, I've always looked at, you know, the phrase, the it factor, is one that was overused and undefined. So about 6 years ago, I did a documentary around that phrase and the quarterback position. And where we netted out with all of our research and interviews is that it's defined as someone who walks into a room, you feel their presence, and they make that room better. I've always felt that Tua Tagovailoa was number one for me. And being around Dylan Gabriel at the Elite 11 finals, he was a counselor, called a spring game, seeing him this summer in training camp during media days. I spent, I think, a decent amount of time with him. It's off the charts. It jumped to him. It's the best I've ever seen. And I think he's just got this infectious quality. So, I want to see all that. I think the question marks to me is, like, okay, what's the offensive line going to look like? You know, who's going to be at center? Who's going to be at guard? Are they going to rotate? You know, I want to see what that's like. I think an underrated storyline for them is their defensive front. I mean, they've got 10 second-year players, as in either redshirt freshman or sophomore, monsters on the edges, right, and playing that defensive line. I think that's what's going to allow them to compete with the Georgias, with the Texases, with the Alabamas, you know, with Ohio State. I just think their competitive depth is off the hook. Is there a guy that is just a game wrecker, or is it by committee? I think it's going to be a question mark that we talk about all season long. And I think it's cool to have either or, but that's something that I'm definitely going to be looking forward to.
What are your expectations for Washington State and Oregon State, two teams that have just recently named their starting quarterback for the season? They've got an interesting schedule, some big non-conference matchups. They play their old rivals, but then they meet at the end of the year during rivalry week, and so that's a little different for them. Playing a pseudo-Mountain West team, teams, I should say. What are your expectations or thoughts or feelings of what Oregon State and Washington State will be this year?
I think they'll be America's team, and I'm going to double down on that for them. You know, just like I double down on, I think SC is going to be better than people think. And I think Oregon is going to be way more physical than people think the West Coast brand of football is. Same thing with these two teams. I think I'll start with the Cougs. They didn't lose as much as the Beavs in the transfer portal. Of course, they lost their quarterback in Cameron Ward, which wasn't necessarily a massive surprise, I think, to anybody. But John Mateer comes in to lead the way, and I feel good about this team. I had a chance to connect with Jake Dickert and their staff this week. They feel, you know, obviously enthused about where they're at in the program. The challenge is, and this is where, like, we have to continue to help out the nation around the teams that they're going to play, is they're playing kind of like, you know, in the Mountain West, it's like the SEC of the Group of Five. I mean, those are just teams that, you know, they're not going to be intimidated. Some of their rosters got eaten up a little bit in the portal, but not as much as anybody thinks. And going into some of those places is hard when you look at their schedule, whether it's a Boise or Fresno State, you know, and what have you. It's just not going to be a run where they'll rip through the league with ease. I say that because they're going to be like the SC of the old Pac-12. When they play those teams in the Mountain West, those teams are going to have those games circled. So they're going to have to bring their best every week. I think the Cougs probably have a little bit better of a shot when you look at the non-con early on. Like, I give them, I think they can go beat UW. Oregon State, I want to see what they look like on Saturday, just because it's so many new players. Like Giovanni McCoy, you look at the backfield, some of the wideouts. I just want to see how they've replaced them and what this offense is going to be. Coach Gunderson, I've known him for a really long time. His background's really diverse. So he and Keith Hayward and company, and of course, you know, Trent Bray, just they lead that school, right, on so many powerful levels. So I think both teams can make a lot of noise. I expect both of those teams to be, you know, competing for national notoriety, right? I'm going to be presenting and connected to the CFP like I have really for the last 6 or 7 years, and you're going to have to place your case for these two teams, you know, once you get into late October, early November. And I think they're both going to have a really good case. And especially if they can make some noise early on, I mean, look out. Like, look, we know what rivalry games are, and I'm not going to say that the Beavs are 100% losing to the Ducks. Like, they're going to go out and give them everything they got. Can't wait for that game. So the nation will be watching in the month of September, and I hope that they catch fire and become America's team.
Yeah, I think it's a really easy cause to root for. Yogi Roth, our guest, Big Ten Network, Elite 11, the author of Five-Star Quarterback, at Yogi Roth on Twitter. He's going to be on the call for Oregon-Idaho Saturday night. You mentioned USC there. I'm excited that that game gets a standalone feature on Sunday. Of all the games this weekend that I'm going into, many of them we're not quite sure what to expect because we just don't know what teams are going to look like. Florida State showed us that last weekend, all this hype and anticipation about their D-line, and then they get dominated at the line of scrimmage against Georgia Tech. What do you expect from the Trojans on Sunday night, and do you have a good feel on who this team is and what this team's going to look like?
I think I probably have as good a feel as anybody, just from being out of practice, and you know, I called their spring game. I'm connected to a lot of their players and their staffs. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. I call it a foundational year for them. So why that? Well, year one, they hit lightning in a bottle with the best player in the world, and Caleb Williams, of course. And they didn't have to play the likes of Oregon or Washington. So they're just in a really healthy position in terms of being at their possible best. And they were. Year two, where they really struggled was the offensive front. And that, to me, is something that gets unnoticed in the portal. I'm a believer that it's really hard to rebuild the whole thing up front in the transfer portal.
Yeah.
They tried to do that. They really struggled there. I think the transfer portal this year has been a lot more efficient in terms of the players. And most importantly, the second-year players, whether it's second-year as sophomores or second-year in the program, coming off the edge, they're really talented players to me. And Jamil Muhammad is a guy in his second year in the program. Anthony Lucas in his second year in the program. These receivers, I put them with Ohio State and Oregon as the best three receiving corps in the country. They're all sophomores for the most part. So I'm in on them, man. I think they're tougher. I think they're more physical. I like the scheme better, and they're going to score. I mean, they're just going to score. So I don't think this looks anything like Alabama SC, what was that, like 2017, 2018, when they just got rolled in Dallas. I think it's going to be a really competitive game. Both defenses had to rebuild. Both teams have quarterbacks in Garrett Nussmeier and Miller Moss who sat, waited, versus dipped to go play immediately and maybe get paid. So there's a lot in college football to like for this game, and I think it's going to be a tight one. I think it's going to come down to a couple snaps, a couple plays, maybe a penalty or two, but it's going to be one of those tight games. And wouldn't be shocked if SC made a lot of noise this year, and I think they're in the top third of the Big Ten. They might be in the bottom part of that third right now in my eyes, but Ohio State, Oregon are the top two. To me, is Penn State. And then I'm looking at SC. I know Iowa's got an elite defense, but the thing that gets no discussion is that that league has not faced elite quarterback play. Well, in a long time, yeah. And they're going to have to deal with that this year.
Well, even if they lose to LSU, just don't come out barking like dogs and then get boat raced, I think is the only thing SC fan would not want. That's not a good look.
Once you do that once, you learn that lesson. Yeah.
Final one for you, Yogi, because we appreciate the time. I know you're super busy. You mentioned Gabriel, and you had mentioned that in your Elite 11 experience, Tua was the best. If you could elaborate a little bit, what was it about Dylan that makes you maybe elevate him over Tua? Because we've heard about Tua's done at a lot of those camps going into college and throughout. What did Dylan Gabriel show you that wanted to elevate that, and is he your Heisman pick?
Yeah, great question. Well, I'd urge you to go listen to his podcast with me. It's at yoption.com. It's my new podcast about college football through the lens of the West Coast. And he and I sat down for a while and talked about that very thing. And I just think that he's got this desire to connect to people. And you're going to hear me say it all broadcast long, the DNA traits of Dan Lanning's program: connection, growth, toughness, and sacrifice, in that order. And the connection one is one that Coach Lanning is so all about. I mean, a borderline obsession of making sure his team knows one another. And at the quarterback, or if you watch their doc series called That Team Out West, you saw this beautiful moment where he's talking to Dylan. He goes, look, Bo had 2 years. You got 8 months. Like, we need you to be more vocal. So I think he went in there with the humility that he has at a really high level and said, all right, let me just get to know guys. And then once the door was open for him to really be that guy there, he kicked it down. And you look at all the little things he's done, right? Like, instead of a Maserati, he got a van to drive the receivers around. right? Instead of making it all about him, he created an event where all the players came, and they called it Dime Time, when they went down to Southern Oregon, and he just started to throw and just spend some quality time with his teammates. And then I really watched the body language of people around him, right? Whether it's at media day and watching his teammates, you know, Ferguson and Bosser were both there with him. Whether it's being in spring game or watching what's happening in practice or on the sideline, talking to other people throughout the program, like the equipment manager or the SID, all of those things to me is exactly what NFL personnel do when they're evaluating somebody. Same deal for me, especially when you're evaluating a quarterback and you reference the Heisman. Clearly way too early to make any of those predictions because it's not a preseason award. But yeah, he's in the conversation. You know, one of my characteristics, I have a 10-point system on the Heisman, which I'm happy to take you guys through later in the fall. Mm-hmm. But one of his is, would I pay to go watch that guy play? And I would. You know, and obviously a lot of other people would, as it's standing room only this weekend in their home opener. So I'm just thrilled. Oh, by the way, he can just deal. He absolutely can spin it. I think he's really gone to work there from spring until now. You look at the velocity of his ball, how the ball finishes on the face mask. And then I just say, go on YouTube and look at the final drive against Texas last year. You want to talk about being your best when your best is needed? That's exactly who he was in that game-winning drive as they came in a dramatic comeback against the Longhorns. So I'm just such a huge fan of who he is, how he performs, and really how he's grown from no offers, going to military academy, to going to play at UCF, to OU, to having the awareness to say, okay, there's another guy here in Jackson Arnold's staff committed to. I'm not ready to go to the NFL based on my draft grade. I'm going to go play somewhere where I can play at a high level and compete for a championship. And he picked Eugene, and it just makes a lot of sense. And you look at Marcus and the eight and all of, I mean, again, there's storylines forever in terms of why this guy, I think, has a true effect.
Yeah, Oregon fans, very excited to see him for the first time at Autzen this weekend. And you will be on the call. The man does everything. The Y Option podcast, go check it out, where you can hear that interview with Dylan Gabriel. Five-star quarterback. The new book is out. Elite 11. Big Ten Network, as I mentioned, on the call. Oregon and Idaho, at Yogi Roth.
Busy
on Twitter.
Guy, this
we are
Yogi Roth.
Always happy to adjust our schedule to the kids of Yogi Roth and Yogi Roth. Whatever the Roth family needs, we're willing to move things around. Thanks as always. Have a great call. Safe flight. And hopefully we can do this again soon.
Hey, 8:15 any day, guys. Drop off, got to be in by 8:15. Okay. Sounds good.
There you go. Yogi Roth, great stuff from him. He's calling the Oregon and Idaho game on Saturday. Good question there at the end about Dylan Gabriel. He does seem unique and a really good team guy, and he is like the quintessential college quarterback.
The van thing is an underrated note where I saw that and I kind of had the same thought, and we didn't mention it on the show, of like, that dude,
he just got a van,
could have had any car he wanted for free, and he goes, give me a minivan.
Wanted to load the guys in, let's go, where are we going, boys? Let's go get some throws in. I'll come pick you up.
And you know what,
you
I'm in the same place in my life. Let's get a 15 passenger and go to the coast together.
I actually saw some of the footage. They were down at Grants Pass High School.
Yeah,
when I did the golf show from Widgie Creek, the threesome I got paired with had video. Somebody knew somebody that was a football coach.
Oh, was down walking around or something?
Oh, that's cool.
And so he said, yeah, my friend sent me this when they figured out who I was and what I was doing. Yeah.
Imagine being a kid at Grants Pass, not knowing this is happening. You walk past your high school, there's Dylan Gabriel throwing to Tez Johnson. You're like, what is happening?
Throwing some nice quarter fades in the end zone.
Dante Moore out there? What's happening right now? So great. Yogi's the best, man. He has been a champion of West Coast football for a long time. Love having him on the show, and he will be on the call on Saturday night. Let's get to our big pack picks. First time, first week, here we go, next. All right, we don't have a lot of time here, but that's okay, because for our first big pack picks,
our big pee-pee. That's what it is.
It
I'm going to say it wrong if I try to say all the words, so I'm calling it the big pee-pee. Every Thursday, the big pee-pee.
The big wood's still in here?
I don't know. You tell me, Swag. You tell me.
Where's the meat?
We have four games to pick, and they're all boring, so we don't need to spend a lot of time on them.
Yeah, they are.
We have decided. So we used to do Pac-12 picks against the spread every Thursday.
Yeah,
I don't care about Arizona State, Cal State. Yeah. Like, I'm not picking. Like, screw you. I don't care about any.
And we're not going with the Big Ten. And
I think
Illinois and Eastern Illinois.
You want to pick Rutgers versus whoever the hell they're playing this weekend?
I don't know. Like, I was thinking about things. It's like, what are we going to do this year?
If we did that, it'd be like Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State.
Just the big games.
Just because
there's too many teams in the Big Ten. take forever. That segment would take a half hour to get through.
Although, I think for Jordan Schultz's sake, the biggest game of college football, we need to pick Iowa-Ohio State.
Yes. That's right. Forgot about that. So we have decided to just do the four Northwest schools. That's all we're going to do.
The big pee-pee.
The big pee-pee. Washington State, Oregon State, Oregon, Washington. We will pick their games every Thursday against the spread. So a quick reminder of last year, I dominated the dojo in this. I had a really good year.
Yeah, and you refused to spread the line.
And
with
I did, because Oregon Lottery's dumb. Pac-12 picks against the spread record last year, I was 52-36-1.
What a year.
Swag came in second, 47-41-1.
Yeah.
And you were two games behind him, 45-43-1.
We're all winning.
So we all won money last year. We don't need to spend a lot of time on these. We will start. Washington State, what time is this game on Saturday? The Cougar game, do you guys know off the top of your head? Nope. Okay.
No, I need to learn.
They play Portland State at home. They are a 28.5-point favorite.
It is a 12 o'clock CW network
game. That's right. They're 12, and then the Beavs are after that, right? Yeah. At 4 or something, 3:30. Okay.
Yeah, Ducks and Bees play roughly at the same time.
That'll be a fun drive down to Eugene. Washington State, 28.5 at home against Portland State.
Give me the Cougs.
Cougs.
You have to do it. I mean, Oregon State, Washington State, especially of the four, they have to come out, and they've got to kick major ass. And I'm sorry for the Vikings fans out there. If Washington State is in a dog fight with Washington State and this quarterback doesn't look the part, it's going to be troubling. You have to come out. You got to win this game 48-7.
You just time, baby.
You need to dominate.
Yeah. Swag,
yeah,
3-3.
I will lay the points there. I think for Oregon State and Washington State, there is such a chip on their shoulders. They got to be able to not get too amped up in the moment where they're, you know, just running around like crazy people. But if they can harness it and focus it, and we need to prove to the world that, yeah, you guys screwed us over and here's why. Yeah.
So I think the answer to the question.
The Big Wood's still in here?
I think the answer is yes.
Yes.
Today I'm laying the Big Wood.
Three for three. Do we want to go quickly on Oregon State, too? It sounds like we're all taking Oregon State, same thoughts, thought process.
Yeah.
A lot of uncertainty. You got to.
Same line, by the way, for those wondering at home. 28.5. I'm just using the DraftKings line for these, so.
I'm thinking 45-10 is my thought in my head. Like 28 minimum, and a half. That's what I'm hoping for.
All right. 3 for 3. We'll go Oregon State, Oregon State, Oregon State. Let me write them down. Third game up this weekend will be right here on The Fan, 4:30 on the Big Ten Network. If you have Comcast, sorry, listen to it on The Fan. 43.5, Oregon at home, favorite over Idaho.
It's a lot of points, but Idaho's an FCS team, and Oregon is Oregon. They should win this in their sleep by that margin. What's crazy is they win 52-10. You don't cover.
52-10 would not be a cover.
I think it's going to be 62-10, so I will take it.
I think they might get to 70.
If they want to, they can, yes.
Because the other thing is you've got backup quarterbacks if they're in the second half.
Oh, they want them to run the offense.
They want them to run the offense, and they want to prepare them in case something does happen to Dylan Gabriel. Those guys have talent, so I think the second and third units are still going to march down the field.
What was it, 81-7 against Portland
something
State?
Like
I think it was,
that,
81-7, 84-7, something like that. Yeah, yeah. We'll make it 3 for 3, although there is not a great trend of teams that are favored by 40-plus points covering the number. I think in the last, 10 years, I saw a stat the other day that they're, 15 games below 500 against the number.
I mean, the Ducks are, 8 wide receivers deep that could, in theory, start for Division I teams somewhere. So, yeah,
I think that's the point.
Second
white
and
receivers?
White? What? Did you say wide or white?
Today I'm laying the Big Wood.
No. I'd say white.
I thought you said 8 white receivers. And I'm like, they got a lot of white receivers.
Wide receivers. Wide. There was a D in there.
I don't care if it's the race. It was just the way you said it. It sounded like white.
Yeah, I think they're going to want to play everybody and keep the pedal to the metal because, to Swag's point, you might not get as many of these 80-point wins during the season, and so you want these guys to get reps. You're going to want to keep it going. You're not just going to kneel it the entire second half, so I think they will cover. Last but not least, 8 o'clock at night on Saturday night. Also, if you have Comcast, sorry, find a way to listen to it. Washington at 27.5 at home against Weber State.
Damian Lillard ain't walking through that door.
You sure about that?
Give me the Huskies, minus 27.5.
Apparently, Washington State's big kick returner is now playing for Idaho, which was a concern to Dan Lanning in the presser.
About all
so they're not going to have any field position.
Their quarterback's in Corvallis now.
They won't have any field position.
Yeah, Huskies should win this. Yes.
Yeah, they should cover that number. Weber State.
Is Gary Anderson there?
I don't know who the head coach of Weber State is.
Exactly. That's the point.
So there you go.
They have to come out the same way Washington State, Oregon State do. You got to kick some ass.
I got to admit, kind of a boring.
Today I'm laying the big wood.
Yeah, it's not an exciting big peepee.
We're all laying. I mean, just everybody taking heavy favorites. It'll nobody's riding a dog.
Yeah.
Which one of these do you feel least confident in?
Probably the Huskies.
Just their ability to
rack up a ton of points.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think I would answer Washington as well.
Me too.
I did find it interesting that Oregon.
I've not been at games.
We got to get off the same cycle, boys.
Yeah, well, I mean, spending way too much time.
I will never forget Sacramento State. Never in my life will
Washington
I ever forget
lost
that
to
game.
Montana 2 years ago.
Sacramento State
3 years ago. How many years
fifth
ago
that? In that conference the year that they beat Oregon State?
What did Montana finish?
I don't know. Isn't Montana always in the FCS playoffs?
I mean, I assume
Bill Orme and Tyson Alger are always talking about them.
We're always talking about
Montana State ranked 3 and 4 respectively in the preseason.
Sacramento State
poll.
Was middle of the road of the Big Sky of the year. They beat Oregon State and Oregon State.
I did find it interesting that Oregon State is a bigger favorite at home against Idaho State than Washington is against Weber State. Is Idaho State better than Weber State?
No. Giovanni McCoy is better than Will Rogers.
Hey. Idaho State's awful.
Will Ortner has a family member on that team, and they're bragging about how they're going to upset Oregon State.
They are. Idaho. The Bengals are coming in hot.
I guess.
The Bengals, here they come. Yeah. There you go. Our Big Pack picks, we will do them every Thursday, and I promise the games will get more interesting. They just all play crappy opponents this week, and that's not our fault. But our picks are in. We'll keep track of the records, and it all begins today. Let's get you set. Your college football primer for a Thursday night next on The Fan. House in blue. Well, we've made it, folks. We have made it. It's college football on TV tonight. I know it started on Saturday, but
it did, though.
It kind of did, but not really.
But like,
it's about 5 million people watched that first Florida State Georgia Tech game. It's all a number.
Second biggest sport in America. Been saying it for the last couple years now. Goodbye, basketball. Goodbye, baseball. It is college football.
It's football 1A, football 1B.
Like,
that's
what's Georgia Clemson getting at 9 a.m.?
Yeah,
right?
Massive number.
A&M Notre Dame. That's going to be a monster game. Miami at Florida.
So we went through this a little bit earlier, but if you're curious, your viewing guide for tonight, a lot of these games do not matter, and you don't need to watch, like UL, Monroe, Jackson State. You're probably not going to watch at 4 o'clock on ESPN+, unless you're a super sicko.
Mm-hmm.
The games that I have circled for this evening, for your viewing pleasure, North Carolina is on the road at Minnesota. They are a slight favorite on the road, North Carolina is.
You know, that's not a ranked game, but Mac Brown's still coaching at UNC and row the boat. It's of note.
Minnesota's got good home crowd, too. It should be a good atmosphere. 5 o'clock on Fox. That'll be the Joel Klatt, Gus Johnson game, I believe.
Yes, Gus Johnson yelling at me on a Thursday.
6 yards! Simultaneously, Colorado, North Dakota State will be going on. Do you believe now? That'll be at 5 on ESPN.
We shall see.
Live from Boulder, Colorado. And then I will keep an eye on Utah tonight because they play at 6 against Southern Utah.
Oh, I'm going to pop in on all these ranked games.
Hey, you check them out, flip on over.
Yep.
ESPN Plus, 6 o'clock, Utah, Southern Utah. I got wings ready to go. Mm. Throwing wings on the smoker this afternoon.
Mm.
Going to be eating wings, watching football. We did it, guys.
There we go.
We made it.
We did.
We had Yogi Roth on the show earlier. If you missed it, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague, and at 1080thefan. Tomorrow at 7:30, we're going to do something fun. We're going to have a reporter or writer or whatever on for each of the four Northwest schools. Angie Machado for Oregon State.
This is a turn and burn segment.
Turn and burn. Ryan Clark for Oregon. Danny O'Neill for Washington. And Jessamine McIntyre for Washington State.
Yep.
All four of them, round table. Daily ticker, 7:30, season preview.
Prediction and something to look forward for each team, and then we turn to the next guest.
Boom goes the dynamite. That will be tomorrow. Enjoy the football tonight, everybody. Thanks so much for being a part of our show. If you missed the show, go check the podcast. Make sure you like the video on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel if you have not done so yet. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. In
thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.